Well, good morning, everyone. We're doing things a little differently this morning, and the reasons for that will become clear as we go along. We are in the second week of our month-long Jump series, and it's during Jump Month that I confess again and again my addiction to nature shows. And again, I rarely, if ever, turn on a nature show on purpose. It's almost always the result of channel surfing. And not too long ago, I was watching and a commercial came on, and so I just grabbed the remote and went. A peregrine falcon. There was a peregrine falcon. It had my attention instantly because Gary Larson of the Far Side was right. Birds of prey know they're cool. I mean, when you're driving down the road and there is a hawk on a fence post next to the road, you notice and go, ooh. You rarely do that for a blackbird because birds of prey are cool. And a peregrine falcon might be one of the coolest birds of prey. And there was a show on a peregrine falcon. And I was sitting there going, oh, this is going to be good. And so I was hooked. And this peregrine falcon is flying along and notices some pigeons. And so the peregrine falcon takes off after the pigeons. And it's just flapping and flapping and flapping. I'm thinking, this is going to be a short hunt because the peregrine falcon is the fastest animal on the planet. And these are just dumb pigeons. I mean, this is going to be lunch in a hurry. But this peregrine falcon is flapping and flapping and flapping, and these pigeons take off. And these pigeons are making time. And the peregrine falcon isn't catching them. And I'm sitting there going, how could this be? I mean, peregrine falcon, pigeon, no contest. But apparently, peregrine falcons, while very fast, apparently are no match for a pigeon on level ground because a pigeon can fly up to 70 miles an hour. And I thought this was a bit of an exaggeration until I was driving from Davis to Sacramento along the causeway. It was one of those rare days that there was no traffic. And I'm driving along and I notice there are pigeons flying parallel to Highway 80. And I wanted to see how fast they were going. And those pigeons are going and I'm speeding up a little bit, looking at my speedometer, looking at them, and I'm speeding up. I'm going over the speed limit, but all in the name of science. And I'm cruising along and those pigeons were going 69 miles an hour. Oh, not only are they fast, but they're agile, and this peregrine falcon could not catch them. And I just went, wow, ain't that something? But then the peregrine falcon stopped its chase and started doing this. And it went higher and higher and higher. Until now, it wasn't flapping anymore. It was just soaring. And it's soaring way up high. And it starts looking down. And it sees the pigeons again. And it resumes the hunt. But this time, this peregrine falcon doesn't do any flapping. This peregrine falcon starts into a dive, and instead of flapping and flapping and flapping, tucks its wings in and becomes a feathery missile. And this thing is going down 70 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, 120 miles an hour, 140 miles an hour, 190 miles an hour. Peregrine falcons have been clocked up to 240 miles an hour. And this thing is going close to 200 miles an hour, straight down. And suddenly the pigeons see this peregrine falcon, and they start flying again. They start flying again. But at this point, the peregrine falcon has gone almost 200 miles an hour, goes into a bank, is no longer going 200 miles an hour. It's going a mere 150 miles an hour. And it comes down, talons out, boom, lunch. Feathers everywhere. And I sat back. I just turned it off, and I went, wow. I'm a peregrine falcon. And I got news for you. You are a peregrine falcon. But the question this morning becomes this. Which version of the falcon are we? Are we version 1.0, The one that's flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping and not catching the pigeon? Or are we version 2.0, the one that went soaring on high, saw more clearly, and was empowered for the hunt? I'd love to say I'm Peregrine Falcon 2.0. Unfortunately, more times than not, I'm version 1.0. Chasing after what I see is important, all on my own strength. How often do you go through your day looking at what you've determined is important? And it might be a totally selfish desire, might be a totally good, righteous desire. But if you're flapping after it on your own strength, trying to obtain it, you're going to come up short. And how often is that the story of our lives? We flap and we flap and we flap and we flap and we flap, and it's always just out of reach. It's my story way too often. I don't want to be 1.0. I want to be Falcon 2.0. I want to be the one that soars up high. I want to be the one that just soars instead of flaps and is able to see more clearly and be empowered to go after that which I now see clearly. The difference between 1.0 and 2.0, one did a lot of flapping, the other one went up high. As you read through the scriptures, there are multiple names given to God, and these multiple names all describe something about the character and nature of God. And one of the Hebrew phrases that describe who God is and what God is like is this Hebrew phrase, El Elyon. And El Elyon means this: the Lord Most High. The Lord Most High. We were created not to flap, but to connect with the Lord Most High. The question becomes this: how do we do that? Before we get to the how, we're going to look at Psalm 97 this morning, because Psalm 97 is one of those places that describes the Lord Most High. And so if you have a Bible, open up to Psalm 97. If you need a Bible, they're in the seats in front of you. Psalm 97 is literally like right in the middle of the Bible. If you don't want to use the Bible, the words are going to be up on the screen. We're going to go through Psalm 97 so we can get a better picture of what the Lord Most High is all about. Verse 1 says this: the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice, the Lord reigns. Here's good news. If you're Falcon 1.0 and you've spent most of your life flapping and flapping and flapping, trying to go after what you think you need, and you've become discouraged and heartbroken and beat up as a result of it, there's good news, because the God we're about to hear about in this psalm is the Lord that reigns. And you might feel totally distant from God right now because of all your flapping. But even if you're distant shores, you've got reason to rejoice, because the Lord we're going to hear about reigns. And it occurred to me that my ability to see clearly and to proceed wisely is directly linked to my connecting with the God we're about to hear about. And so if it keeps on going, pick it up in verse 2, it says this: clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. There is an awesomeness about the power of this God. A couple weeks ago, I went backpacking with a handful of people from our church, and we were down in the Southern Sierras, and we were up about 10,000 feet. And on day two, and just so you know, the night between day one and day two, it rained on us. Woke up the next morning, it's still cloudy, but we're going to go for a day hike that day. And the idea was we're going to go hiking for about 5 miles, get up near a glacier. It was great. And so we started out on our hike. And Larry Gavay and I, we're in the front, and we're just hiking along. And I started looking around, and I said, "Hey, Larry, I can't see the tops of the mountains anymore." And Larry looked around, and in a prophetic voice said, it's going to rain. And 2 to 3 seconds after he said, it's going to rain, boom, thunder clapped directly above us. It was one of those thunders that you almost feel. Just right above us, boom. And then seconds later, the skies just opened. And it didn't simply rain hard. It was hailing. Everything was bouncing off the ground. Larry and I scampered under the tree. The rest of our group got there. We're all just kind of huddled under a tree as it's just pouring around us. And I'm watching the trail that we had hiked in on slowly become a stream. I mean, it was powerful. But what we experienced that day was a sneeze compared to the awesome power of El Elyon. The power that is talked about in reference to God is awesome. It keeps going, though. Says the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. In other words, obstacles cannot stand up against the power of this God. They melt like wax, these mountains, these obstacles. And so here's the thing. These obstacles cannot withstand the power of God, but these same obstacles are more than able to withstand your flapping. If you're trying to overcome these obstacles based on your flappity, 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 oh, they're going to stand up strong. Against the power of God, they melt like wax. So what are the obstacles in your life right now? They might be physical. They might be financial. They might be relational. What are the obstacles in your life? How are you going about overcoming them? Are you relying increasingly on your strength and personality, your experience, your passion, your intelligence? Or are you soaring and connecting with the God that can actually do something about it? I love what David Roper says in his book, A Burden Shared. He wrote, "The problem with many of us is that we're much too gifted. We're perilously adequate. And so we go on our way, believing in ourselves and on our own power and personality, relying on our own strength and show. But our self-confidence is our stumbling block. We're so good at what we do, we're no good at all." How are you attempting to overcome your obstacles? How hard are you flapping instead of simply soaring and connecting? The psalm continues, though, and it says, "The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all his people see his glory." When was the last time you stopped in your busyness, just looked around at creation around you, and just said, wow? A sunset, a sunrise, the mountains, the sound of a bird, new growth on a plant. When was the last time you just slowed down enough to just go, wow? "All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord." How foolish when we bow down to anything other than El Elyon. How foolish are we when we chase after idols? And whatever those idols might be, it might be physical health, financial stability, education, nationality, ethnicity, anything that we think is really going to give us the upper hand at catching a pigeon. And we bow to those things over and over and over again, flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping and never getting what is truly the desire of your heart. "For you, Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." Here's that Hebrew phrase right there, the El Elyon. He is the Lord Most High. In other words, nothing and no one is higher, more powerful, or more worthy of our praise and attention than him. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hands of the wicked. One of the results of connecting with the Lord Most High is that we begin to see more clearly. Remember the peregrine falcon? It's chasing and chasing and chasing, flapping and flapping and flapping. It's not working. And then it began to go up high, just soaring on high. And only then did it begin to see more clearly and was empowered to resume the hunt. When we are connecting with the Lord Most High, our vision is enhanced. We see more clearly. We begin to see what it is that the Lord loves and what the Lord hates. And suddenly, the things the Lord hates, we begin to hate, and the things the Lord loves, we begin to love. In other words, our worldview is changed when we are connecting with the Lord Most High. Instead of our worldview being formed by this news outlet or that news outlet or by this commentator or that commentary, instead, our worldview is now formed by the Lord Most High, and we see more clearly that which we're really supposed to be pursuing. And it will run in contrast with what the world says you should be going after. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. When we are connecting with the Lord Most High, not only is our vision enhanced, but one of the other results is we become a people that praise his holy name. In David Crowder's book, Praise Habit, he asks a series of questions that we should consider. He asks this: what if praise freely leaked from us in delightful response to God? I love the word leaked. Like we're so filled with the reality of who he is from our connecting with him that it just leaks out of us. Praise leaks. What if we were so moved by who God is, what he's done, and what he will do, that praise, adoration, worship, whatever, continuously careened in our heads and pounded in our souls? What if praise were on the tip of our tongues like we were a loaded weapon in the hands of a trigger-happy meth addict and every moment might just set us off? This is what we will do for eternity. What makes us think our time on earth should be any different? What keeps us from doing so? What keeps us from doing so? We become a people that are not overflowing with praise when we are version 1.0. When we go about life flapping and flapping and flapping, trying to catch what we think is important on our own strength, we are more likely to praise our efforts than who God is. What keeps us from doing so? Flap, flap, flap. What will get us to that place where praise is overflowing? When we are a people that soar. When we are people that regularly and routinely connect with the Lord Most High. In Isaiah, it says this: he, referring to God, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles or peregrine falcons. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We were created to be connecting people, connecting with the Lord Most High, because that changes how we see and empowers us to pursue that which God deems important. Are we version 1.0 or 2.0? Which falcon are you? Too often I'm 1.0, I long to be 2.0. And if you're like me, it goes, wait a second, I want to be a person that is connecting with God. Here's a suggestion. Connecting is one of the key words in our church. We are committed to being a people that are followers of Jesus, not simply believers in Jesus, but followers of Jesus. And how we go about following can be reduced in three words: connecting, growing, serving. It's what we do and how we do it. We are committed to be a church that is connecting with God and with other people. And there are multiple ways to be a person that is connecting with God. There's more ways than I can count. But the primary way that we connect with God as a church is right here and right now. It's from 10 to 11:15 is the primary way that we corporately set aside time and space to connect with God. And so everything that we do in our church services, whether it's the singing, the praying, the preaching, the reading, the other pieces, they're all designed for us to primarily be a connecting people. It's here for us to be connecting with God. Unfortunately, we often struggle to be present enough to do it. I'm going to give you one suggestion on how to make the absolute most of the connecting time from 10 to 11:15. Seriously, if you just do this, if I just do this, it will transform what our connecting looks like. There's this moment in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Eli has given instructions to the young boy Samuel. And the instructions were this: when God speaks, this is how you are to respond. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What would happen if that became our prayer every Sunday morning? What would change if before you stepped foot into this room, your prayer was this: speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Do we believe that God is present and active and wants to connect with us? Yes. Then speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. Those of you that know me well know that one of my favorite ways to pray are just simple breath prayers. God gave breath in my lungs. I'm going to use them for his glory. And so as I breathe in, I'll think of words. As I breathe out, I think of words. And it's usually just straight scripture. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening is a great breath prayer. As you breathe in, speak, Lord. As you breathe out, your servant is listening. I usually have to do it more than once because it takes me a long time to get to the place where I'm actually meaning what I'm praying. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What would happen if every one of us here, before entering the space, I'll tell you what would happen. If we were praying that as we entered into this place, it would prepare our hearts and mind to actually hear God speak to us every Sunday. It would move us from a place of spectator and critic and move us into a place of humble participant. It would take us from coming into the place of worship with our arms crossed, prepared to be upset about this, that, or the other thing. And instead of crossed arms, that prayer allows us to open our hands and say, I'm here to receive from you. It might be a song. It might be something from the scripture. It might be something from the sermon. It might be something from a prayer. It might be one of the images. God gave you five senses. He could use any one of those five to communicate with you on a Sunday morning. But if we come in like this, we're going to miss most of it. If we come in like this, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God's desire is for us to be a people that are connecting with him. Will we? Are you going to be version 1.0 or 2.0? May we be a church that is a 2.0 church. I'm going to ask you to do something. Usually, we do a lot of singing and prayer and such in preparation for a sermon. This morning, it was upside down. We did a sermon to prepare us for the next 30 minutes of worship. And during those 30 minutes of worship, we're going to sing. We're going to pray. There's going to be some movements in our time of worship that might be a little out of your comfort zone. But if you feel the nudge of the Spirit saying you should participate in that, go out of your comfort zone. Stop flapping. Try soaring this morning. Because we're going to sing and we're going to pray and we're going to spend some more time in Psalm 97. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And as the worship team comes up, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I don't usually do this. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes right where you're at. Just close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes so that you're not distracted. With your eyes closed, pay attention to the fact that you're breathing. And every breath in your lungs is a gift from God. Now that you're aware that you're breathing, make your breathing more intentional. And as you breathe in, use the same words that Eli told Samuel to use. As you breathe in, speak, Lord. As you breathe out, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Keep breathing. Keep praying until those words go from your head all the way down to your heart. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.